Evan Roberts. Tiki Barber. It's Evan and Tiki on WFAN, The Fan, 101.9 FM, and always live on the free Odyssey app.
Hi, how we doing on this absolutely insane Tuesday afternoon in New York City? The New York Yankees are three wins away from an American League championship. The New York Mets are three wins away from a National League championship. And the New York Jets made a blockbuster trade within the last few hours. We will get to the disgrace that was at MetLife Stadium, but I'll give you a quick tease on how I feel. That term, same old Jets, was invented for games like last night. Joe Beningo's famous rant, you could change the jerseys, you could change the coach, you could change the stadium, you could change the quarterback, and it's the same crap that was built for last night. So I promise you deep from my soul, we will get to last night. But a few hours ago, the New York Jets decided, you know what? Let's try to make sure no one talks about what happened last night. It's like the mind eraser. And so they went out and they traded for Devontae Adams. And I am able, Tiki, to compartmentalize. I'm able to be pissed off and worried about what happened last night. And also say to you that this was an absolute no-brainer. The Jets are better because they made this trade. I believe the Jets had to make this trade. And I keep my fingers crossed, and I ask the football gods pretty please that it's all going to work out. But when you're in this deep, you got to keep digging.
Well, you keep digging because despite sitting at 2-4 right now, you are a game out from being in the wild card in the NFL because of the extra wild card. And you go look at really all the standings, and I'm looking at Buffalo. They're fantastic. Pittsburgh is good. Obviously, the Baltimore Ravens are really good. Houston has been good. And the Kansas City Chiefs have been good. So you talk about those five teams. There's still a couple more teams left. And so who are those teams, you ask? Well, right now, it's the L.A. Chargers and it's the Denver Broncos. The Denver Broncos, with Bo Nix at quarterback, sitting at 3-3, are currently in the conversation for the wild card. And the Jets are a game back. We talked about them being a game back going into last night's game from being on top of the division. Obviously, they lost, but they're now a game back from the wild card. And so they're nowhere near out of it. It's not like they're the Patriots at 1-5 struggling with a rookie quarterback now under center. You have Aaron Rodgers, and you just got one of his favorite historical targets in Devontae Adams.
Right.
And so, I mean, I hate to be Aaron Boone, but it is literally right in front of you.
No,
and it's a game in front of you. So go take care of business against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who are likely to, unfortunately for them, start Russell Wilson at quarterback and give you all the advantage that you need to get yourselves back on a winning track with a guy who had a hamstring injury, but now he looks like he's going to be fine.
Right.
At least if you listen to him on McAfee with Aaron Rodgers this afternoon. So, like, you should be excited if you're a Jets fan, despite the disjointed nature of the first part of this season.
I'm excited, but I'm also pissed off. Like, I think that you can have two separate emotions. If you're a Jet fan and you sat there or you went to MetLife Stadium last night, I don't know how you're not angry. I don't know how you're not pissed off. That was a very winnable game. And for a myriad of reasons we'll get into, they blew it, which has been the story of this season. Losing games that are right there in front of them. Now, earlier today, they go out and trade for an elite-level wide receiver. I'm not overly concerned about the compensation package. It's a third-round pick that's conditional and could move up to a second-round pick. And by the way, if it moves up to a second-round pick, that means amazing things happen for Devontae Adams and the New York Jets, because one of the prerequisites for it to move up to a second-round pick is the Jets being in the AFC Championship game.
Right.
Which,
oh, he's got to be a starter in the AFC. He's got to be active in the AFC Championship game.
I assume it's hand in hand.
Yes.
So I'm okay, especially when you're in this deep. Because we're in this deep, fellas, ladies. We're in deep. Okay? I'm not telling you it's going to work. I'm not giving you a pep talk. I'm not going to blow smoke up your derriere like Positive Tommy does. I'm being honest. When you're in this deep, you've got no other choice. But to my fellow Jet fans and to the non-Jet fans, there is one thing that I've heard a lot over the last 4 hours that needs to be attacked. And I think Tiki already preemptively attacked it. The idea, because I heard BT say this, and he comes from a good place because he's a Jet fan, but I also heard Sean Morash say it. And Sean comes from a terrible place because he's a disgusting troll.
Hey.
And that is, It's too little, too late.
No, it's not.
That's ridiculous.
It is absolutely ridiculous.
Ridiculous!
The games are right in front of you to go out and win, and the Jets can do that. And I just laid out why the Pittsburgh Steelers might be vulnerable. We already know that the New England Patriots are on the struggle bus heavily. Now, it's going to be tough against Houston, but at least that game's at home, right? And then you have the Arizona Cardinals, who are beatable, and the Indianapolis Colts, who are beatable, and then you get a bye week.
Right.
And then, so, in theory, you should win four of the next five games. And so if you do that, you're now all of a sudden 7-4. You feel confident about yourself. You feel good about yourself. And Aaron Rodgers starts to stop throwing his receivers under the bus about walking, running on the red line, whatever the hell that is, if you know what that is. I know what that is because I played in the league.
I have no idea
actually,
what it is.
I practiced in the league because that's the only way you would know what the hell he's talking about. But whatever he was doing, he was throwing Mike Williams under the bus.
Yes.
Clearly.
Yes,
and
yes.
Mike Williams likely won't be on the team next week. So it's all of that noise. When Aaron Rodgers talked about it last year, all this stuff that's not related to blah, 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 half of it was him. Now, hopefully the noise can go away because they're going to be good.
The Jets have a lot of problems. We've touched on just a few of them. But the idea that it's too late is just not true. We are six games into a football season. Am I worried? Of course I am. Was I pissed off last night? Of course I was. Did I have a tough time sleeping, even though I tried to think about nothing but Mark Vientos hitting a grand slam at Dodger Stadium? Yeah, but there is time. So the idea of, well, I like Devontae Adams, but why are you doing it now? Why wouldn't you do it now? You're trying to win. This season isn't over. And there's a difference.
By the way, you have no choice but to try to go win. Now.
Absolutely. And look, there's very few people that fully understand this. Loogie has no idea. Sean half understands this. BT doesn't understand this. G doesn't understand this. And I'm jealous that they don't understand this. Because Brooklyn Net fans did this. We experienced this whole ordeal, right? And the one thing I learned from the Brooklyn Net experience, and I say this with beautiful hazel eyes, looking into your eyes, I have no regrets.
The Net's still in the league.
It didn't work, but they had to go all in. And so what's my experience like? My experience is you don't give up halfway in. You have to go all in. So if you have a chance to trade for a top wide receiver in this league, who I still think has it, and a guy who has a great relationship on the field and off the field with the quarterback who you can hate and you can rep, but he's their only hope. You have to do it.
Obi-Wan Kenobi.
And math-wise, like it's just arguing with math to say at 2-4 it's too late. It's just arguing with math. So if you want to argue with mathematics, Sean, be my guest.
Yep.
But that is the dumbest argument against this trade to say, Archie, it's too late. It's not too late. They're not 7-9.
Evan. First of all, a couple things are true here. You're right. I saw half of this as a Nets fan, and I think the Jets should make this trade. So that's not the point because you're already so far invested. But you're so damn focused on too little too late when it comes to time.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, mathematically, it's not too little too late. It is, however, too little too late when it comes to roster building and understand what this team is missing. We have seen the flaws of the New York Jets, and the Jets weren't a premier receiver with great chemistry away now from Aaron Rodgers.
By the way, I agree that this isn't like the final piece. Like, this doesn't fix the brutal penalties from yesterday. This doesn't fix a liquored up kicker. Sorry, that's a Peyton Manning line. Greg Zuerlein is not a liquored up kicker. Just a really crappy kicker all of a sudden. That doesn't excuse those other mistakes, so I'm not going to argue that, but it makes them better.
Okay, it makes them better, but I think we could all agree now as we see the New York Jets and what they were last year with Zach Wilson and through 6 weeks of this year, we have thrown around the word talent all willy-nilly about this team, and they have plenty of talented players, don't get me wrong, but this team is not nearly as talented as we tried to make it out to be for the last year and a half. This defense, especially after letting John Franklin Myers walk, especially after losing Johnson, they don't have premier edge rushers on this team right now. Quinnen Williams is very good. He's not elite anymore, or maybe what he with the was.
Quinnen Williams has sucked, by the way.
Yeah.
I'll be the first to tell you.
Exactly.
Their run defense is inexcusable.
And
right.
We don't have to go through the whole roster, but Quincy Williams and Sauce Gardner are awesome. After that, the defense is one giant question mark that seemingly can't get a big stop, including on Josh Allen late in that
game.
But
Sean, what you're doing, and it's all like fair stuff, is explaining why you don't think the Jets are going to turn
but
their season around.
But that's why it's too little too late.
No, it's not too little too late. See, everything you said is fine to say, hey, guys, I don't think the Jets are turning it around. Which, by the way, is the majority of people right now. If you ask me, do I think the Jets are turning it around? Ask me.
Do you think they're turning it around?
No!
But it's too little.
But that, no.
That's the point,
that doesn't
though.
Mean you don't try.
Exactly.
And I'm not
just
saying
that's a try. Just because my opinion is probably similar to yours, that I don't believe this is turning around, doesn't mean you could sit here in the middle of October and say, oh, gee, they traded for Devontae Adams. Too little, too late. That's ridiculous.
The amount of games left in math tell you it's not too late. All I am saying is it's too little too late in convincing any of us that this roster was a Devontae Adams away.
It's That's not all. That they're a Devontae Adams away, but here's the dead honest truth. If the New York Jets executed a play here and there over the last 3 weeks, they wouldn't be 2-4. They'd be 4-2, maybe 5-1. And I know that's the NFL, trust me. But that's how close they've been to winning these games, despite all those issues you laid out. Okay. What?
All right.
What do you want from me?
There's breaking NFL news.
Okay, break the glass.
It ties into Devontae Adams.
Let's hear it.
The Bills are trying to go counterpunch with the Jets here.
Good.
They have traded for a number one wide receiver.
Huh.
They've gotten Amari Cooper from the Cleveland Browns.
Get out of here.
Wow.
I guess I got to update my
depth chart.
My depth chart.
Tiki's doing the Bills this weekend.
Doing the Bills game this weekend.
You know what? Can I be honest about this? I want to respond to this. I don't care. Now, I don't mean I don't care as if you shouldn't have brought it up. It's huge NFL news.
I care.
No, no. And you should care. And as a football fan, I care. What I mean by I don't care is right now, if you're a Jet fan, it's just about the Jets. It's about them fixing their issues. So I get Buffalo just got better by trading for Amari
and
Cooper.
And by the way, they needed to fix their number one issue. They don't have a number one
Absolutely.
Wide receiver. And it was talked about on the broadcast a little bit last night. I mean, Keon Coleman, they just drafted in the first round out of FSU. He's still a rook. He's still got a lot to figure out. And Khalil Shakir, who was
their leading receiver
their
yesterday, was running back Ray Davis.
Right. It was the longest pass that I think he's had all season long.
Tiki,
so.
From a football perspective, like for you, you're calling the Bill game this weekend. Big deal. I say to the Buffalo Bills, that's a good deal for them. They've gotten better. Good for them.
They're ahead of you already, so it doesn't even matter.
Exactly.
That's why it doesn't matter.
Exactly. The I don't care is not an I don't care.
Yeah.
It's a right now the Jets got to fix the Jets. Right now, the Jets have to worry about the Jets. Like, I'm not going to lose sleep over the Buffalo Bills getting better because, truthfully, winning yesterday enhanced their chances of winning the AFC East a lot. And the Jets can still win the AFC East. There is time, but they got to fix things. So, good for the Buffalo Bills. They get Amari Cooper. Have you heard a compensation package just to compare it to what the Jets gave up for Devontae?
I haven't, but I thought it was worth mentioning based on this whole Adams combo.
Yeah, this is from Diana Rossini.
Mm-hmm.
Yep, we don't have the details yet, but she was the one who broke it.
Yeah.
And they definitely needed to. Look at last night's game. Ray Davis was their leading receiver. Dalton Kincaid, tight end, was their second leading receiver. And then you got Curtis Samuel and Keon Coleman and Khalil Shakir. So absolutely good move for the Buffalo Bills. But questioning if the Jets can turn this around, which I do. I raise my hand. I'm not an optimistic Jet fan right now. You'd almost have to be a fool to be optimistic. Is far different than shrugging your shoulders at a Devontae Adams trade and saying it's too late. It's not too late. It's not. If Mike Williams doesn't slip and Aaron Rodgers makes a better throw, they win yesterday. If Garrett Wilson, I know there was a lot of contact and I didn't play in the NFL, but if Garrett Wilson holds onto that ball in the end zone, they win yesterday. And more importantly, if Greg freaking Zuerlein can make a damn field goal, two of them to be exact,
doinked,
they win the game. So they're not as far off as it can be if we're just breaking down the inefficiencies to the roster, because they should have won every game the last 3 weeks.
If. Do you think the Jets are getting any better at kicker between here and now and the end of December?
They can't get worse!
Do you think
he missed a 32-yard field goal, Sean?
Do you think the team, and I know last night when we'll get to it, you think the team's going to be any less penalized going forward the way that we've seen? They've been like this for a year and a half.
Sean.
Yeah, but
that's not the point.
But it is the point.
No,
you can't say if these things didn't happen through the first 6 weeks, these things are going to continue to happen.
It's the NFL. It's not linear. It's not this has been going on. It has to continue. You're right that I'm not confident it's going to change. But when you utter it's too late, that's a poo-pooing, arrogant, out-of-touch comment. It's not too late. If the Jets beat the Steelers on Sunday, they're in it! Right, Tate?
Right, they are. They are. And that's what I started by saying. The wild card gives you a chance to make up ground when you start a season in a terrible fashion. You can say the same thing about the Giants, to be honest with you. Now, do I believe in the Giants as much as I now do believe in the Jets? I don't know. Daniel Jones has got to play a whole lot better before you start saying the Giants have a chance to get to the wild card. But Aaron Rodgers looked pretty damn good last night.
He played well.
And, you know, save for that last interception with 2 minutes to go, why that take that shot at that point, I'm not positive. But it was a bad throw. He, you know, we knew what the Mike Williams situation was because he explained it after the game. And they went out and made themselves better afterwards by getting Devontae Adams. So the only thing you could do is look forward to the positive and stop worrying about all the negative stuff that's happened behind you.
I think it's fine to bitch about the negative. We're going to do a lot of that today, I promise you. But the one thing I won't do, because I think it's stupid for any sports fan to do it, I think Met fans certainly learned their lesson back in early June, is to say, nah, it's too late, it's over. It's not over! Doesn't mean you're confident, doesn't mean you expect it to change, and doesn't mean you just shrug your shoulders and say, ah, it didn't work. You have to keep trying. And one of the lessons I've learned about a team that goes all in, the way my basketball team did a few years ago, is even if it doesn't work, you can't just give up. Once you give up, you're blowing the whole thing up. And I can promise you this, if the New York Jets finish the season the way I fear, and they go 6-11 or 7-10, and they miss the postseason, then yes, they'll blow it up.
Right.
And we'll all be lockstep in that. But when you're 6 weeks into a season and you're 2-4, and every freaking week there's one thing that costs you a victory, and you've got a veteran Hall of Fame quarterback on your roster, and you just made a coaching change, you have to keep trying.
You do, but it is a bunch of ifs. By the way, the compensation for Amari Cooper is a third-round pick, similar to Devontae Adams of the Jets, but additionally, there's a pick swap added in. So no conditions, just a pick swap. Now, we don't have the details on what that pick swap is. It doesn't even matter. It's going to be some sixth or seventh rounder. Who cares? The short story is Amari Cooper is now a Bill, and they got better.
Very similar kind of compensation deal.
Yes.
Devontae Adams is a New York Jet. Amari Cooper is a Buffalo Bill, and the New York Jets last night blew an absolute golden opportunity to be a first-place team in the AFC East.
Same old Jets.
We got a lot to talk about. The toll-free number is 888-808-1019, including something Tiki referred to earlier, and that's the fact that Aaron Rodgers took the bulldozer out in his post-game press conference and decided to run over Mike Williams. Plus, we heard from the owner of this team, Woody Johnson. We'll talk to Joe Beningo at 4 o'clock.
Thank God for drugs.
And Yankee fans, a lot to discuss from last night. Maybe I even owe an apology to a certain New York Yankee starting pitcher who delivered on a huge stage.
No, we all do.
We all do. That's right. It's not just me. Plus, last night I stayed at American Dream. I stayed for the Met game. And a very, very important meeting occurred that may change the life of positive Tommy Lugauer.
Mm-mm.
A very major, major meeting involving
there?
Tommy Lugauer. Nancy was not there.
Okay.
I cannot reveal.
I was worried about that one.
Yeah.
If Nancy showed up, that might be some issues.
Well, there's a little rivalry between positive Nancy and positive Tommy, but Tommy has no idea about this. He doesn't know about the meeting. All I'll know is your career may be on the line with the decisions that you make today on this program.
Gotcha. And by the way, there is no rivalry between me and Nancy. Nancy is part of the positivity. She's part of the positivity posse. There's no rivalry.
Positivity posse.
Oh, look at this.
Yankees got it done last night. We got a lot more on the Yankees as they look to take a commanding 2-0 lead later tonight in the Bronx. And coming up this hour, in the next 30 minutes, guaranteed. You ready for this? A chance to be in the building for Game 3 of the National League Championship Series between the New York Mets and the Los Angeles Dodgers tomorrow night. 8:08 first pitch. So I know what you're probably thinking. You don't have tickets. You were looking at the secondary market. The prices are through the roof. You're screwed. Well, you're not screwed, because in the next 30 minutes, we're going to give you an opportunity to be in the building. Mets Dodgers, Game 3 of the NLCS. We got a lot to talk about today. I promise you, also coming up in the next 5 minutes, Aaron Rodgers deciding after a game in which he played very well, I admit that, I'm going to kill one of my players. I'm going to X him off this roster. I'm going to run a bulldozer on him, and you'll never see him again. If you haven't heard it, we'll play for it. Play it for you in the next few minutes. 888-808-1019. The Jets are a disaster, and then they decided to trade for Devontae Adams. It's a no-brainer. They gave up a third-round pick, conditionally could move to a second. They don't have long-term commitment to Davante Adams because the rest of his contract after this year is not guaranteed. So this, if the Jets want it to be, can be a one-year rental. This season goes terribly wrong. They don't want to be married to Davante Adams long-term because they know they want to pay Garrett Wilson someday. No harm, no foul.
Yeah, I think he probably would like some sort of extension. It would be short, 2 years, 3 years, whatever it may be. But if I'm the Jets, I'm holding the line on that. And just wait and see.
Yeah.
If you deliver for us, we'd love to have you till you age out of the game and you're no longer, whatever, a star in the NFL. But let us do 1 year first.
That's right. And that's the plan as of right now. Let's go to Lee on Long Island. Good afternoon to you, Lee. What's up? My screen isn't working, so you may have to pot up Lee. Oh, maybe he's not there. Huh. Yeah, my screen's not working, so I may need some help on the other side if you don't mind. We'll go to Mark in Syosset. You want to hit up Mark? How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well, guys. Good afternoon. Just a couple of points on the Jets, if you don't mind.
Go ahead.
Evan, I agree with you. It's not too little too late. There's time, and it's a good move. It is a no-brainer. What I disagree with is the issue with Aaron Rodgers. I don't think Aaron Rodgers played a great game. I think he had great moments. But if you looked at his statistics, he was 3-for-8 in the red zone with 3 pass deflections. Mm. That's not going to change because the offensive line is a big problem for them. And I also think defensively, they need C.J. Mosley back on the field if they're going to move forward because there's some gaping holes for them, and he can help fill them.
All right, couple of things about Aaron Rodgers, because you are right. Aaron Rodgers did not play a quote-unquote great game. He played well, and he was significantly better than what he's been over the last few weeks.
Right.
I will definitely give you that. And he did have those great moments. I mean, the Hail Mary, for one, brought them back in the game. But you're right. Like, ultimately, what bothered me the most about Aaron Rodgers, even though you can pick it apart on each play and show me where it's not completely his fault, and this is very simplistic, but this is what made me have a tough time going to sleep last night. You're down 23-20, there's 3.5 minutes to go in the game, and the ball is in Aaron Rodgers' hands.
Mm-hmm.
The worst-case scenario should be driving to kick a game-tying field goal.
Yes.
And instead, you know, a Joe Tippmann penalty certainly didn't help. That wiped away a Breece Hall first down. You're set up for a 3rd-and-16. And that's when Aaron Rodgers takes that shot down the field, and he's intercepted by Taron Johnson.
Right. I didn't love the play call because in that situation, you can run the same play, but Aaron Rodgers has got to be smarter to dump that off. Go get half of it.
Right.
Right? Dump it off to
Breece Hall. That's what I thought he was going to do, T, because they're going to go for it on fourth down. So just cut it in half.
And the way that the Bills secondary backed up, I mean, they were most of the coverage level players, second and third levels, they were past the first down marker.
Right.
So you dump it off, get 8-10 yards. Maybe Breece Hall breaks a tackle and gets the first down, and then you can go for it on fourth down as opposed to going for a very low risk. A low reward, high risk shot down the seam that apparently he knew was screwed up because Mike Williams wasn't on the red line.
Right.
Right. He was on the numbers.
Then why are you doing it?
Why throw it? That was the one critical moment I had. If there was, 8 seconds left, 12 seconds left in the game, maybe.
Of course.
They were at the 2 minute.
Well, also think about this because this is going through my head knowing the Jets had all 3 timeouts.
Yes. That's the other thing.
If they don't convert on that 3rd-and-16, let's say when Mike Williams slips, he just doesn't catch it and it's an incomplete pass.
It's also a bad throw.
And it was a bad throw. I agree with you. What are they doing on 4th-and-16?
Hmm.
Are they punting, hoping to get off the field, which they couldn't do because on 3rd-and-4, Josh Allen did a little spinneroni and got a first down, or are they now going for it on a 4th-and-16?
I think regardless, you were going for it on 4th down. And so trying to get it all didn't make sense to me.
Makes no sense. Let's go to Victor in Harlem. What's up, Victor?
Hey, how's it going? First off, Evan, LFGM, got to start off with the positives going tomorrow.
Let's go, baby.
So let's go, Mets.
Indeed, man.
Yeah, and I had your book. I still got it started, but I got it. But really quick, I'm a diehard Giants fan, and growing up, obviously, Eli was number one for me. But Aaron Rodgers, favorite quarterback to watch. That slowly started to deteriorate. Not because of his psychedelics and all the off-field stuff, but I didn't like him as a leader, calling out his players, always having something wrong, an issue with the locker room. 1 second, he's not happy with the draft selections, but he's okay once he gets a new contract. At least with the Packers, he could rely on winning and having a Super Bowl championship. What has Aaron Rodgers done with the Jets that he can just come out and act the way he does, whether it's the off season, whether it's throwing guys under the bus. Tell me another big name quarterback that has done that.
Well, Victor, last thing, I promise. There's a couple of things, though, about that, because it's a very fair point to bring up. Let me start off by answering your question. What has Aaron Rodgers done for us? Nothing. Nothing. And I put this tweet out earlier today, and I know I come from the unique perspective of living with all these mercenaries. Most people in the audience didn't. When I look at Max Scherzer and Justin Verlander and Kevin Durant and James Harden and Kyrie Irving and Aaron Rodgers, they're all mercenaries, right? They're all a little different in their mercenary skills, but they're all, at the end of the day, older guys who came here, make a lot of money, and we had expectations they were going to give us greatness. I would argue, outside of Verlander, that maybe I push aside, Aaron Rodgers has done less for the teams I root for so far than Kevin Durant, certainly, than James Harden, than Max Scherzer. Less. So to answer your question, he has done nothing so far for the New York Jets. The second part of it's a little bit more complicated. Aaron Rodgers has to be who he is. Mm-hmm. So I don't think because he comes to New York and he hasn't won anything here and he hasn't done anything here, he has to become a meek, different personality.
Right.
At the end of the day, Tiki, he still needs to be Aaron Rodgers.
He is going to be, and he's going to hold himself and his teammates accountable. We saw this with Christian Watson 2-3 years ago when he was a rookie out there in Green Bay. He basically threw the same thing. It was exactly the same thing that you heard about Mike Williams. Now, Christian Watson's a rookie, so it's kind of motivating for a rookie. It's different when it's a veteran who had a lot of success, mostly in with the Chargers, but a lot of success has been pretty good for you already this year. And maybe being exhausted or just, I don't know, a little bit mind numb at the end of that game made a little bad choice on his route. He didn't get it outside the numbers. He was running on the numbers, and it forced Aaron Rodgers to make a bet. I don't know, but he called him out, and then he gets replaced the next day.
Yeah.
It's just, now, apparently, this. They're not related, by the way.
No, I think they're going after Davante Adams no matter what.
Apparently, Davante Adams was on a plane while the game was going on. And so, that was happening before Mike Williams made whatever the egregious mistake it was that Aaron Rodgers felt the need to call him out on. But that's just Aaron. You're right about that. If you make a mistake, he's going to call you out.
And he shouldn't be different just because he hasn't done anything yet for Joe Meningo and myself. You know what I mean? Like, he has to be who he is. But I listened to Aaron Rodgers after the game last night, and for those that missed it, here is where he decided to end Mike Williams' New York Jets career. Because essentially he did, and then he ran him over with this big tractor. I smile about it only because it's so ridiculous. I present to you the quarterback of the New York Jets, mercenary number 7, Aaron Rodgers.
Two verticals, you know. Allen's down the seam, Mike's down red line. So I'm looking at Allen. He puts his hand up. Three guys go with him. So I'm throwing a no look to the red line. And when I just peek my eyes back there, he's running a inbreaker. So it's got to be down the red line.
So were you throwing that spike to come back to it?
No, I was throwing it to the red line. But when I got to about here, I realized he was running an inbreaker. So I had to kind of adjust it a little bit. But the play is two guys vertical, one guy down the seam, one guy on the red line.
Now, to be honest with you, I don't understand 80% of what he said.
Right, but if you do want to know, Dan Orlovsky did a great job on his Twitter account explaining what this all means and why you have to do it that way. Basically, the guy running down the seam takes three defenders and puts stress on the guy who potentially is going to cover Mike Williams, the guy who intercepted the ball, right? So because the separation wasn't correct, therefore he was able to get back and make a play on that ball. So that's why Aaron was mad about it. But it also sounds like an excuse.
Well, it's also a decision that you make in a post-game press conference to let us know, hey, it was his fault.
Right.
Because he didn't have to do that.
Right. But here's my takeaway after I heard his explanation. Forget and I didn't hear it till this morning, but forget what happened in the play. Once he started making that explanation, he knew it was wrong. He saw Mike Williams not on the red line, and he decided to throw it anyways. Why not check it down? If it's not perfect, just check it down. There's nobody on Breece Hall in the flat. Nobody. The closest defender is 10 yards away. Maybe he rallies and makes a tackle. Maybe he doesn't. Who knows? But check it down. You got more downs to go.
Right, because you're on a 3rd and 16. Make this thing a 4th and reasonable.
Yes.
I think the other thing Aaron Rodgers was pissed off about, even if he didn't say it, but I certainly remember it, is on the previous drive where Greg Zuerlein missed the 43-yard field goal.
Yeah.
Mike Williams had a drop on that drive.
Mm-hmm.
It was right after the holding penalty on Elijah Vera Tucker.
Yep.
And Mike Williams hasn't been the worst yet. Like, he's great on these 50-50 balls. And I think early on, I certainly had this impression of, wow, this is going to work out. He actually feels like a good fit in this offense. But clearly Aaron Rodgers disagrees. And I think that it's just a numbers game. With Devontae Adams being here, with Alan Lazard being opened up now that he's playing with Aaron Rodgers as compared to the monstrosity that was a year ago, to go along with Garrett Wilson, there just isn't going to be a role for Mike Williams.
Right.
So I think Aaron Rodgers publicly telling us, because we wouldn't have known. Like, the only way I would have known, and most of us would have known, that Mike Williams ran the route, wrong route, is when we came on the air and I said to Tiki, open up that little device you have and tell me what the hell happened on 4th and 16. And you may have been the one to say, all right, here's what happened.
Right, spacing was wrong. He had a bad throw because it wasn't what he expected. He still should have taken the check down, but that's what happened.
So is that a bad thing for the quarterback to basically come out?
Even if
the guy's not going to be around anymore,
honestly,
to do that?
It's not, because that's what Aaron does. He'll answer the question if you ask him. Tell me what happened on that last play. Well, I'm going to tell you exactly what happened. Most of you aren't going to understand it, but I'm going to tell you what happened. And that's what he does. He's always been that way. You can't expect him to be different. And so if you have a thin skin, you need not apply. That's basically what it comes down to when you play with Aaron Rodgers. You got to be able to take the criticism. Otherwise, he's not going to trust you, believe in you, or care about you.
Let's go to Mike in Ramtown. Hey, Mike.
Hey, how you doing, boys?
Good.
Hey, all right. Always good to talk to you, Tiki and Evan. Yeah, thank you, sir. I'm an Eagles fan, but you are my favorite Giant running back. O.J. Anderson is number two.
Oh,
O.J. Anderson is number two.
Oh, he's
Robert Morris, number three. Yeah.
Okay, you got a list.
I think it's very odd for an Eagle fan to have power rankings of his favorite Giants. I think that's strange.
Well, yeah, because you know what? Because I respect competition.
Okay, I like that.
Yeah. All right, Evan?
Yeah.
You need to get your fanboy Aaron Rodgers stuff off of this.
I think my fanboy Aaron Rodgers stuff's been off for about three weeks now, by the way. But go ahead.
Yeah, okay. Well, you can defend Mike Williams. You can defend it. I know you weren't defending Mike Williams. I'm sorry. That was misstated.
That's all right. Well, what's your point? But, what's the point you want to make?
Aaron Rodgers is not Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers is not the Aaron Rodgers you want him to be. I know he's one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, has one of the greatest arms ever. I know Devontae Adams is coming back.
Yeah.
But he is a 40-plus-year-old quarterback.
Yeah.
The only one who has ever done it is Tom Brady, the best quarterback ever.
What is your point then? Because I agree that Aaron Rodgers has been, despite playing a solid game last night, Aaron Rodgers has been a disappointment this year. I crushed him for the Minnesota game. The game is on him. I crushed him for the Denver game. A lot of it's on him.
Correct.
What's your point, though? You want to cut him? You want to bench him for Tyrod Taylor? Like, I get it. You want to criticize Aaron Rodgers? I've been criticizing him, too. What's the end game?
The end game is that your team is what your team is.
No, I disagree with that. Right now they are what they are, but you're 6 weeks into a football season. I mean, what does that mean? Daniel Jones is just what Daniel Jones is? Like, we talked about this yesterday.
No, that might be the case.
He might be the case, but you're not giving up on the season.
No.
You know what I mean?
Like, no chance.
You're right. You've made the declaration that that's it for Daniel Jones, but guess what happens when you watch TV on Sunday? Guess what happens when Sean takes his troll hat off and puts his Giant hat on? He hopes Daniel Jones is awesome.
Right.
He hopes that he's wrong. So right now, Mike, you want me to kill Aaron Rodgers? I've been doing it for 3 weeks. He's been a massive disappointment. I am hoping that with more chemistry with Garrett Wilson, with more chemistry with a wide receiver he has a great relationship with, Devontae Adams, I'm hoping that Tyron Smith, who sucks right now, I'm hoping that maybe they're going to play better. And that could change the point you're making of, it is what it is.
Right.
It is what it is until it isn't.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
No, it makes a ton of sense. And Tyron Smith, and he's going to struggle with speed edge rushers from now for the rest of the season because he's just older, right? And Epinesa just had a field day with him for a lot of this game. Couple penalties as well. So he had a bad game. That doesn't mean he's going to be terrible all season long.
Right.
But it does mean, as I thought they would do more of in this game, help protect with the play calls. The backsides for Aaron Rodgers. And you saw a little bit of it, but not enough of it for it to not make a difference. Now, you know, the beauty of Aaron Rodgers is that he doesn't care. He doesn't get emotional. He is like a robot with preparation, with getting on to the next game and trying to get better. Like, he's not going to emotionally check out. Some of these quarterbacks in the league, they'll emotionally check out when they have bad days, or they'll start overthinking when they have bad days. He's too old for that,
right?
There's too much urgency in his game for that. And so you needn't worry about, like, a hangover from one week to the next. That's never been his MO. It's never been his way about going things. Now, he may, you know, annoy the hell out of you with some of the things that he says, but you know he's going to go prepare and ball every single week.
Mm.
That's how he is, period. End of story with him.
They need him to be better.
Right.
I thought he was this past Monday against Buffalo last night. He was a lot better than the way he played the two previous weeks. They need to keep him on his feet, which he's taking a lot of hits every single week, and that's a concern. It's tough to find them when you're less than 24 hours after a brutal loss, because that was a brutal loss last night. It's tough to ever circle a positive and, like, hug the positive and say, oh, that was a positive. But they did run the football 50 times better.
Yeah.
And that's a huge positive. But now they got to win. They got to win football games. And last night was a missed opportunity for the New York Jets. They were about to be a first-place team. And then you got Greg Zuerlein. And Greg Zuerlein, NFL place kickers are Major League Baseball relievers. There is no difference, okay? You could take a guy who's a journeyman kicker, who bounces around the league, and then all of a sudden, you're the New York Yankees, and you stick him in your bullpen, and his name is Luke Weaver, right?
Yeah.
Journeyman pitcher. He's not any good. Now he's the most dominant closer remaining in Major League Baseball. The same thing with kickers. Greg Zuerlein, Jet fans, was great last year. I want you to remember that. He was great. Now he stinks.
Same old Jets.
Now he's missing 32-yard field goals.
Right.
And I got to tell you,
I think he overthought the wind.
Did he?
I think it was.
Oh, God.
Because just kick it down the middle. Just kick it.
I know.
Don't think. Just kick.
It's so frustrating. We could go through 100 different things that the Jets did to blow yesterday's game. If Greg Zuerlein's making field goals,
right,
they win. Similar to the whole Giant thing we talked about yesterday. If Greg Joseph makes a field goal, like, it's a completely different game. And it's infuriating.
Yes, it is.
Let's go to Lee on Long Island. How are you, Lee?
Doing well. The Mets are keeping me sane, but the Jets are driving me bonkers. So I don't know. You take it for what
well
it is.
Well said. I feel the same way.
So I'm half crazy and half elated. So, you know, they traded for Devontae Adams. Now, does he play offensive tackle or does he stop the run? Because the Jets aren't doing either of those things. You keep saying, if they did this, and if they did that, and if they did that. And Sean was right. That list gets longer and longer and longer. And if they don't commit 10 penalties, and if they hit field goals. But they're not doing any of these things. And this Devontae Adams trade, if they're really all in, then they should be trading their first-round pick for an offensive tackle. They should be trading their second-round pick for another player that can help them. But the point is they have traded for a 40-year-old quarterback. They traded for a 32-year-old receiver. They signed Tyron Smith, who's a corpse of himself. they traded for Hassan Reddick, who still hasn't shown up. And it just seems like they're trying to stock the pond with has-beens, and it's not working.
But Lee, you just suggested essentially they do the same thing. Your whole point was, yeah, Devontae Adams is good, but why don't they trade for someone to stop the run? Why don't they trade for someone who can protect Aaron Rodgers? So basically what you're saying is, I hate all the guys they added. They should go add other guys. You're right. The Jets have holes. And I'll bring it back to baseball because I think it works to keep everybody involved. At the trade deadline, there were many Yankee fans, rightfully so, who said, yeah, I like the Jazz trade, but they didn't do enough. Just because you can't fill every hole doesn't mean your own guys can't turn it around and be the answer yourself. Think about that.
Right
now, at the trade deadline, most Yankee fans said, we didn't do enough to address the bullpen. Okay? That was an absolute opinion, completely valid. We didn't do enough to fix the bullpen. Right now, in the postseason, you have Clay Holmes and Luke Weaver imitating Mariano Rivera and John Wetland. So sometimes, the answers come from within. And I get that that's frustrating on a Tuesday in New York City to say this guy needs to be better and that guy needs to be better, because right now you don't think they're going to be better. But that's how teams get better.
It's your own players performing better.
Right.
Tyron Smith, yes, needs to be better. Quinnen Williams, yes, needs to be better. This defense can't commit PIs every other play. They need to be better. So don't poo-poo trading for an elite wide receiver because we're pissed off at the other positions that are not living up to snuff.
Right, that's the bigger issue. Is it the you haven't had a complete game yet from this Jets team. And until you do, you're not going to win consistently. Yeah, you have the pieces, but it's still a work in progress. I mean, every team in the NFL is kind of that way, except for, I mean, even the Chiefs at 5-0. They're still a work in progress.
Yeah.
They're not perfect.
I'd like to be a work in progress at 5-0.
But they just win.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? They have that intangible it. They know how to win.
Joe Beningo will be joining us coming up at 4 o'clock.
Thank God for drugs.
We'll get back to your calls coming up. Boss, right at 3 o'clock. Does Carlos Rodon deserve an apology? I wrote a letter last night apologizing to Carlos, but then I thought, I don't know if he deserves it. We'll figure that out coming up next as the Yankees take care of business in Game 1 of the American League Championship Series.